Very proud to be joining you this morning. Also, the son of immigrants from Cuba, both of whom also didn't graduate from high school and really never learned to speak English. So it's quite an honor for me to be here this morning talking to you a little bit about my passion in representing the LGBTQ civil rights movement in this country. I could not agree with Dr. Perez more. What we'll be talking about this morning is really the building of a movement that takes all of us in order to be successful. And you'll find, at least with the LGBTQ civil rights movement, we will increasingly be talking about populations that we have not spoken to in the past, whether they be Republicans, whether they be people of faith, whether they be older Americans. And so throughout this presentation today, you'll see us mobilizing populations, talking about building more and more allies, raising attention to the fundamental justice of our cause. For those of you that don't know about the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, we're the nation's largest civil rights organization dedicated to LGBT equality. We're also a multi-issue advocacy organization in that we work it from all angles. Our approach to our equality is holistic in nature. We have both a C3 and a C4. On the C3 side of things, our foundation, we believe in pursuing institutional programs of equality, and you'll see further evidence of that in a moment. On the C3 or political advocacy side of things, we are unabashed political advocates for our equality. Not only do we advocate proactively and positively for our equality, but we have absolutely no problem with going after our opponents, and you'll also see evidence of that. I'm also here to tell you that elections have consequences, and unfortunately this election will have grave consequences for our fundamental equality here in the United States, at least in the next few years. So, there's plenty of evidence of what we call Big Mo for LGBT people, right? 33 states and the District of Columbia now have marriage equality. Soon it'll be 34 with South Carolina joining the lot, hopefully this week. 62%, about 210 million Americans live in marriage equality states. Public support is at a record high. For the first time in our nation's history, we have a record number of out federal judges, out U.S. ambassadors representing our country. Time magazine has basically declared that it's all over. The Senate, on a bipartisan vote, passed the Employment Non-Discrimination Act for the first time, and this administration has ushered in over 75 life-changing, life-affirming policies for LGBT equality. So the uneducated viewer at home would think LGBT people are doing great. The truth is that that is not the case at all. And so I want to share with you very quickly some statistics that I think folks even at this conference will find to be quite alarming. There are great health and sociological consequences to inequality. Legal and social inequality leads to stigma, which in turn, as you'll see in the next few slides, leads to incredibly negative outcomes. Lives cut short, lives lost, opportunity to love, laugh, and contribute socially and economically to our country at a lower number for LGBT people. As you see here on this screen, 56% of LGBT people have experienced discrimination in healthcare settings. That number is 70 for our trans brothers and sisters. Our risk factors are significantly higher for chronic illnesses. So imagine if you are a person of color who lives in the Deep South. You add to that the complexity of being LGBTQ, and you are set way back in terms of the conversation of being able to access just essential services. Substance abuse and mental health numbers are unfortunately quite higher for individuals from our population. And our youth are in peril. 40%, let me repeat that, 40% of youth that identify as LGBT youth are the youth that are in today's homeless shelters. That is an absolute travesty. 64% of LGB and 44% of transgender students report feeling unsafe at school, and the unfortunate truth is that four LGB youth are four times more likely to commit or to attempt suicide than heterosexual youth. So, one more slide, which I'll also get to later in the presentation, and folks, when they see this presentation, when they see this slide, oftentimes come up to me and say, there's no way that's right. In fact, that's just wrong, right? But the fact is that you could still be fired in 29 states in this country based upon your sexual orientation. And 32 states have no explicit protections based upon gender identity. And there is no federal law that protects LGBT individuals against discrimination. So those are the facts that we wake up to every single morning. So now, with those facts on the table and with the Big Mo slide as well, what are we doing to mobilize support in order to change that dynamic for our community? Well, the good news, and it's been the secret of our success across the country in the last 45 years since the Stonewall riots, is that now 9 out of 10 Americans know an LGBT person. Now, you know, statistics can be shaped in order to say anything basically that you want them to say. What this statistic does not say is that if you go to the state of Mississippi, only 5 out of 10 Americans know someone who's LGBT. So our job, in turn, because we know that it's so impactful to know someone, is to increase that number so it's fairly uniform across the country. We have focused an awful lot on messaging in our movement, and I will tell you that it is incredibly important to all social justice movements to communicate in a culturally competent fashion, not just with members of your community, but in order to move people along a continuum of support. It used to be that we used to communicate through the frame of equal rights, right? How many people remember that when you heard from LGBT people? We want equal rights. Well, what we found was that it was not particularly effective. It really didn't move anyone. So as a result of an awful lot of painstaking research that I was privileged to be a part of in 2008, through an awful lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and millions of dollars of funder money, we were able to come to a new frame, a new messaging frame, that is centered around the words love, honor, family, and commitment. So when you see us communicate with the American public, you are much more likely to see us use those words. That's not to say that when we're communicating negatively or trying to, you know, educate a politician on the error of their ways, we won't use other words, but I can almost assure you, you won't see us using the word bigot, which is something that we entirely used to use prior to our change in messaging. We push back hard. We're not afraid of pushing back hard, and I mentioned that at the beginning of the slide. We believe that we need to make it increasingly politically incorrect to be anti-gay in this country. We believe that until such time as we make it completely socially unacceptable to discriminate against LGBT people, whether in deeds, words, or the lack of passage of legislation, we will not be able to achieve our potential. We also believe that there is a direct causal connection to the stigma that continues to persist in this country against LGBT people and to the negative health outcomes that you saw me express earlier. So this is all part of a very intricate cycle of change that our movement has. We organize, engage LGBT people and our straight allies, and we believe that we have to engage our straight allies because LGBT people are anywhere from 3 to 10% of the population, depending on what study you believe. So in order for us to affect change, we're going to have to engage folks that we ordinarily would not be talking to or think that we can be moving. So as part of the last election cycle, we've become excellent at implementing social tools, social media tools, in order to mobilize both our community as well as our allies. So we use Facebook, we use Twitter, we use Pinterest, we use Instagram in ways that are just as effective as the press release or the email. And this has really been one of the primary secrets to our success, in that we are born of equal measure to all socio-demographic groups in our society. So we are not just born to the parents of liberal elites on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. We are born in equal measure to conservative Republican parents from Mississippi. And so once we engage them, once we educate them, once we bring them along with stories of our lives centered around love, honor, family, commitment, the most American of values, we tend to be able to move them along a continuum. Not a continuum that will go from no support to I'm all in for marriage equality, but rather really kind of a process of education that eventually makes them a supporter, a proud PFLAG parent. I mentioned that from the HRC Foundation point of view, it's really kind of a holistic cycle of change. So we work it. Today, the Human Rights Campaign Foundation will be releasing its Corporate Equality Index, for instance, which is the gold standard measure, if you will, for rating the corporate workplace practices for the Fortune 1000. We believe that that has been an instrumental way to bring about change in corporate America. That has effect not just on those Fortune 1000 corporations, but on small and medium-sized businesses as well that are competing for the same group of employees, for local and state and, yes, federal government that is also looking to institute best-in-class practices, and for the society that we all live in that cues off oftentimes the practices of corporate America. We have a municipal equality index. We have a religion and faith program. We have a program that teaches cultural competency in school. So as you see, we work it from all different manners so that we approach mobilizing our community and that of our straight ally community in a way that is impactful and that we have something to offer for everyone. I mentioned that elections have consequences, and I just need to be very clear about that. We don't believe in electing more Democrats. We believe in electing more pro-equality candidates to office. We don't believe that equality is a partisan issue. We believe that everyone can wrap their minds around the values of treating everyone equally in due process under the law. The unfortunate reality, though, is that the group of folks that were elected to both the House and the Senate this time around are not pro-equality. And so we will be walking the halls of Congress in order to educate them and really try and bring them along as much as possible in order to educate them on how LGBT Americans are a fundamental part of our country and should be treated as such. But make no mistake about it, when you talk about mobilizing social justice movements, you really do have to take a look at who's in office and whether or not those individuals are movable. And many of them are. I'll give you a perfect example. Senator Rob Portman from Ohio had been what many consider a conservative moderate senator, right? Well, his son came out gay. He became a marriage equality supporter, and he voted for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act in the Senate. We consider that a significant amount of movement on his part. We also consider him a wonderful example to other Republicans that they can latch on to personal stories of people that they know. They don't have to be family members. They don't have to be your son. They could be constituents. They could be your neighbors. They could be your friends, coworkers, and share your own journey in terms of coming to the realization that we're not in any way different than any other American. I'm going to leave you with a commercial that we've just started running in the state of Mississippi. You heard me say at the beginning of the presentation that we are at a point in our movement where we are beginning to communicate in very culturally competent ways with diverse groups of Americans that have not always necessarily been there to support us. And we need that in order to achieve full equality for all Americans in all 50 states. So 2 weeks ago, HRC launched a campaign in the state of Mississippi called All God's Children. And the commercial that you'll see is definitely a first for our movement. We're using culturally competent language because Mississippi, 55% of Mississippians are Southern Baptist. And so we did an awful lot of research in order to see what moved them. And I'll just leave you with this commercial.
So
just literally 10 seconds. What's important in this commercial is that we are taking Jesus Christ back. And so what has been used as a cudgel against LGBT people for decades, we are reclaiming him. And you'll see us working that angle across all aspects of LGBT equality, but this is an example of that. Thank you so very much.